Boker Tov, we continue at the very end of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and in the Agadah with which we finished yesterday, the praise of the reed was mentioned, so we continue in that theme. And Tanu Rabbanan, Le'olam Yehi Adam Rach Kekanev Al Yehi Kasheh Ka'erez. A person should always be flexible and pliant as a reed and not brittle and inflexible like a cedar. And now we hear a story about the very famous Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, the famous son of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who hid with his father in the cave those many years, and he learned that lesson himself. He was coming from his Rebbe's house in Migdal Gdor. He was traveling on his donkey, and he was near the banks of the river. He was feeling very good and very pleased with himself and somewhat haughty perhaps because he had learned much Torah. He met somebody who had a very unpleasant face. Shalom alecha rabbi. So this fellow greeted Rabbi Elazar and said, Shalom alecha rabbi, v'lo achzir lo. Rabbi Elazar, feeling somewhat aloof, did not respond. Amar lo reka, kama mechuar oto ha'ish, v'ashem akol b'nei yurcha mechorin kemotcha, and he said in a very caustic way, this man is very unpleasant looking, maybe all of the people in the city are like that. Amar lo eni yodea, so the fellow said, I don't know if everybody in my city is like that. Elo lech ve'amor la uman sha'asani, kama mechuar kli zeh she'asita. Why don't you go tell my artisan who formed me, man, this vessel that you made is very ugly. In other words, he was telling Rav Elazar that essentially he was insulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As soon as Rav Elazar realized what he had done, he got off the donkey and he bowed before this man. I accept what you've said. Please forgive me. Now the man became inflexible and he said, I will not forgive you until you do what I just told you, which is to go to my artisan, meaning God, and say, this vessel that you made is very ugly. And so Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon followed him all the way to his city. So the people of the city came out to greet Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. They greeted him, Shalom Alecha Rabbi. So this fellow who was following, who did not know who that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was, the great Torah giant that he was, asked the people, who are you greeting such? The fellow who is walking is following you. As Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon was following him in order to ask his forgiveness. So they were greeting the fellow in back of you. He said, if this is a teacher, there should not be more teachers like that. Amrulah Maimawa, they asked him, why Amrulah him kach v'kach asali? He told the entire story. Amrulah afa pichain, nonetheless, macholo, shadam gadol b'torahu. You should forgive him. After all, he asked your forgiveness. He's a great man of Torah. So he made a mistake. Forgive him. Amrulah bishvilchem harini mochelo. I will forgive him on account of you. Van shalo yehe ragil lasot kein. But he should be very careful not to do this again. So Elazar Rav Shimon came and taught the lesson that a person should always be pliant like a reed and not inflexible like a cedar. And then in a slight variation of the previous Haggadah that we saw at the end of yesterday's shiur, that's why the reed, he's continued, that's why the reed merited being the vessel which is used to write tefillin, Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzot. Now the question is, who is the reed in this story, and who is the cedar? Rabbi Elazar could be arguing that he was the cedar, and he became inflexible, and then immediately he responded and became flexible. Or perhaps he was saying about the other fellow, that the other fellow for quite a time was inflexible and unwilling to forgive him. And finally, something broke through with the people's request, the people in the town's request, and he saw, as it were, the proper way to behave, and was flexible and forgave Rabbi Elazar. Now, the Mishnah Dalet, mentioned the plague or the cave-in, which causes immediate fasting, and as we called it yesterday, stage 3. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Mapolet Shamru Briot V'lo Ru'uyot. when we mention a cave-in, we talk about a cave-in of a wall that is otherwise in perfect shape, not a weak wall. Ra'ua means a shaky wall. She'inan ru'yot lipol, v'lo ru'yot lipol. It has to be things that are a wall that shouldn't, under normal circumstances, fall, but not something that is made to fall, which, by the way, sounds like parallel phrases. We'll have to fix that right away. He'ninu bri'yot, he'ninu she'inan ru'yot lipol. So what are healthy or strong walls and walls that shouldn't fall? He'ninu ru'yot, he'ninu ru'yot lipol. And what are weak walls and walls that should fall? And it sounds like a repetition. So lo tzricha d'naflu machmat govhayu. You could have walls that are strong, and yet they are inevitably going to fall because they're very tall and they aren't structured properly. Inami the kamen agudin nahara, or walls that are very strong, but they're sitting right at the banks of a river where the water is going to eat away the foundation. Meaning, you could have walls that are strong, and yet they're going to fall. There's a story here which is going to now dovetail into several stories about Rav Ada Bar Ahava, who was a first-generation Amora. There was a wall, a weak wall, that was in Nahar Dea. The Lohave Chalif Rav Shmuel Tuta. Rav and Shmuel would never walk under it for fear that right when they would be there, it might fall. Forgot the Kamala Atra Tleis HaShanin. It was up for 13 years, but because it was always right on the edge of the river, that's where it was built, they were always concerned that that moment may be when it would fall. Yom Achad Ikla Rav Ada Bar Ahava Lahatam. So the great Rav Ada Bar Ahava came to Nahar Dea, and he walked there. Amale Shmuel Rav Nete Bar Nakif. So Shmuel said to Rav, "Come, let's go around and not walk under the wall." Marle lo tzarich na'id. I said, "We no longer need to do so, or at least right now." De'ikar Rav Bar Ahava Bahadan Denafis Chuter. Rav Bar Ahava evidently has a lot of merit, and he's with us. So if we walk with him under this wall, it won't fall. V'lo mistafinan. I'm not afraid anymore. And indeed, that's what they did. Avhuna. He had a donkey in a particular house. He had to go in and get it out. And the house had weak walls. He wanted to get it out. So he walked in and he took Rav Ada Bar Ahava with him. And he kept him talking in Torah in the house until he was able to get the donkey out. As soon as they walked out of the house caved in. Argish Rav Ada Bar Ahava, Ikpar Rav Ada Bar Ahava understood what happened, and he was makpid. He was insulted or upset about what happened. Savar like he had the Amar Rabbi Yanai. The reason he was upset was because he held like Rabbi Yanai. Evidently, when he came to Nahar Dea, he didn't pay any attention to the fact that this wall was a weak wall, and nobody told him. But here it became clear that the house was weak, because after all, it fell in right after he walked out. Because he held like Rabbi Yana, who said, a person should never put himself into a dangerous position or a place where there is danger looming and say, I know that the miracle will happen on my account and will save me. Because first of all, it may not happen. And even if you do have a miracle happen, it's going to cost you in the world to come. That is part of your accounting of your merits is used up to save you. What's the pasuk? A little bit of background. This is pasuk number one on the page. When Yaakov is about to encounter Esav and he is convinced that he's about to go to war and is very concerned about the outcome of that war, he says to God in his tefillah, "Katonti mikol hachasadim." Now, there's two ways to read that, and there's machloket Rashi and Ramban how to read the pasuk. Katonti mikol hachasadim, meaning I am smaller and therefore not worthy of all the kindness that you've given me. That's the Ramban. Or like Rashi says, katonti mikol, meaning the mem is now not comparative mem, but as a consequential mem. I have become small as a result of all the greatness that you've given me. In other words, all of the great things that you've done for me, saving me from Lavan and giving me all of these children, etc., and all of this wealth, has cost me in the world to come. And that is the way that the Gemara here reads it. Katonti mikol hachasadim. If God saves someone in a situation which is otherwise dangerous, then he becomes smaller in his merit. Good. And now we find out what was so great about Rav Ada Bar Ahava that the walls would not fall down if he was nearby. Mayhave uvde Rav Ada Bar Ahava. So ki had the itmar. We have the following. Shaluta medavet Rabbi Zeira va'amrila l'Rav Ada Bar Ahava. They either asked Rabbi Zeira. And it seems to me they either asked Rabbi Zera, what was it Rav Ada Bar Ahava would do, or they asked Rav Ada Bar Ahava himself. But meharachte, I mean, why did you live a long life? I listed this on the page. I was never very stringent or exacting with the people in my house. I never walked in front of somebody. If I was walking with somebody who was greater than I would let him walk in front. I did not think words of Torah if I was in a dirty place. Now put that together with the next thing and you'll see conclusion we have to arrive at. I did not walk four steps or four cubits without Torah and without tefillin. Put those two together and it means he always avoided inappropriate places because he said, I never thought words of Torah, and how much more so did not say words of Torah, in a place which was inappropriate. And on the other hand, I never walked four steps without Torah. Now one way to reconcile it without having living an extremely over-cautious life would mean I never went four steps without Torah in a place where you could study Torah. That's certainly a possibility. I never used the Beit Midrash as my sleeping place, not even for a nap. If one of my friends got hurt or messed up or in some way failed, I never rejoiced over that. I never called my friend either by the, there's something we've shown him here, try to understand the distinction between the two terms, by either his nickname, a unique nickname for him, or by some just sort of general nickname, or it's a family nickname, but I never called somebody by some sort of a nickname. Clearly it was a nickname that would be insulting. So that is Rav Ada Bar Ahava's testimony, sort of his ethical will, if you will, about the things that guided him, and therefore he had all of this merit. Then we go several generations down. Tell us about the great things that the great Rav Huna, who was a colleague of Rav Ada Bar Ahava, second generation of Ora, student of Rav, tell us about the great things that he would do. And so we hear the following stories. And again, we go back to the shaky wall. That's the theme that ties this together. So Amarle Biankute lo dachirna. He said, when he was a young man, I don't know. I don't have any memories of what he did as a young man. But Sivute dachirna. But when he was an old man, I know what he did. Rav Huna lived a long life. The Choyoma de'eva. Anytime there was a cloudy day, meaning there was a storm looming. Havu mafkine begua raka didahava. They would take him out on a golden sedan. And he would check the entire town. Any wall that looked shaky, he himself would direct that wall to be torn down. If the owner of the wall had the financial wherewithal, he would rebuild it. If he didn't, Rav Huna would pay to have it rebuilt, even though it wasn't his wall. He was that careful concerned to make sure that there wouldn't be any bad architecture and unsafe walls in the town. So that's the first thing he did. The second thing he did is that every Friday afternoon, he would send an agent to the marketplace. Any of the vegetables that were left over, and here was the concern. He was concerned, again, to adjust and fix things so that the town would run smoothly. He wanted to make sure that every Friday the vegetable gardeners would bring vegetables to the marketplace. And they would not do this if on Fridays they would come and find that they had a lot left over. So what he would do is he would find all the left over, zavina, he would buy them, and he would throw them into the river. Right? Now, v'leitveilanim, why does he throw them in the river? Why doesn't he give them to the anim? So the answer is zimnei desamcha datayu, because if they do that, then they're going to start relying on it. V'lo'atu lemizban, then they themselves won't buy. U'leshadir lebehema, and then indeed what's going to happen is they're going to sell less and less to other people, and he's going to end up buying just about the whole thing. U'leshadir lebehema, so why doesn't he throw it and give it to animals? So kasavah ma'achal adam ein ma'achilin lebehema. He holds like the approach, which is, by the way, halacha lemaaseh, that it's inappropriate to give human food to animals. So therefore it's not appropriate to give it to them. V'lo l'zavnei klal, so why not buy it? Why buy it at all? Just don't buy it. In seita machshilan lati lavo, because then what's going to happen is next week they won't show up with their vegetables, because they'll say, we brought all of these beets or all of this lettuce or whatever, and we end up with so much left over, we're not going to bring it to the marketplace. And then what you'll have is there won't be any vegetables on Friday for people to buy for Shabbat. Good. So now, Kihava the Milta da Asuta, when he had some sort of a new cure that was brought to him, Have Male Kuza de Maya Vitalide Basifa de Veta, he would take a jug of water and put it outside of his house, and he would invite anybody who needed that medicine to come and take some from him also, and he would share it. Because the Amri, perhaps it wasn't exactly medicine, Milta de Shifta Have Gomir, he had some sort of a new sgula, some sort of a metaphysical protection against demons. Rav Manach Kuza de Maya Vitalide, the same thing, he would put out water and he would pour from it. V'amar called it Tzrich Leiti V'Leol. Anybody who needs to can come in and take some of this. V'ol Listakin. And that way they won't be endangered by these demons. Kavikach Rifta. This brings up a very famous line for us. When he would sit down to a meal and eat bread, when you break bread, literally. Havipatach Levave V'amar. He would open up his doors and declare, Komand Tzrich Leiti V'Leol. Anybody who needs to eat should come in and eat. This, of course, is a phrase that later gets incorporated, or perhaps earlier got incorporated, into the beginning line of the Haggadah and the Halach Ma'anya. Merava kulu matzinu mikayamna levar mehad lo matzinu lemeyavar. Remember, Rava asked Rav Papa's son, what do you know about Rav Huna? So he told him all of these stories about Rav Huna's greatness and concern for the welfare of the town with the walls and the medicine and the food, etc. He said, I could myself fulfill all of those except for the last one, of opening my doors every time I sit down to eat. Why? There are a lot of soldiers here. And if I open my doors to them, then indeed they will come in and eat everything that I have. Okay, and now we have another story about other Amoraim. These are Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, which again takes us to a shaky wall. Ilfav Rabbi Yochanan. So Ilfav Rabbi Yochanan, a first generation Amoraim in Tveria. Havugar Sibaraita. They studied together. Techika lehu milta tuva, and they became very, very poor. Amri, nekum venezo venavid iska. So let's go and do some work and we'll make some money so things won't be so hard. Kaminavshin efes kuli yevachayav yon. And we will ourselves fulfill the pasuk number 2 on the page. Indeed, there will never be a poor man among you. In other words, we'll also have a living. Azlu otri tuta guda re'iya. So they went to work, and at one point they sat down under a weak wall. And havukach kacha rifta. They took taking a lunch break, and they're eating bread. Atu tre malachei asharet. So two malachim came. Shmai Rabbi Yochanan damar chadachaber. Rabbi Yochanan overheard, but Ilfa did not hear this, as we'll see. He overheard one saying to the other, Nishte alayu hai gudav niktalinu. Let's throw this wall down and then we kill them. Why? Shemichin chaye olam abav oskin mechaye sha'ah. They've walked away from eternal life, which is the study of Torah, to get involved in mundane things such as work. Amrele idach, shavkinu, the other malach said, leave him alone. The ika bahu chad de kaima le shaita. Because among them, there's one out of the two for whom the hour is an auspicious time. So leave him alone. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Shema, Ilfa lo Shema. Rabbi Yochanan himself heard this. Ilfa did not. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ilfa, Shema Marmidi. So Rabbi Yochanan asked Ilfa, did you hear anything? Amar le lo. Amar midi Shami anavi Ilfa lo Shema. So Rabbi Yochanan said, from the fact that I heard it, my Chavrusa did not hear it. Shema minale didi kamali shaita. I must be the fellow who's going to have a successful time, who has an auspicious moment in his life. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa, I'm going to go back and learn, and I will fulfill pasuk number 3 on the page, which is that there will always be poor people, and I'll be one of the people who's always poor. So Rabbi Yochanan hadar, Ilfa lo hadar. So Ilfa had been convinced by Rabbi Yochanan's earlier statement, and he continued to go to work, and Rabbi Yochanan went back to the Beit Midrash. Ata Ilfa malach Rabbi Yochanan. By the time Ilfa came back to Tveria, to the Beit Midrash, Rabbi Yochanan had already been crowned, meaning he had been named as Rosh Hashiva. Amrulo, i'ate mar v'garis tohavi malich mar. So people said to Ilfa, if you had come back, wouldn't you have become the Rosh Hashiva? As they were trying to say that your learning suffered as a result of your staying away. Had you come back, you would have become Rosh Hashiva. So Ilfa tried to prove his point, that he was still a master. Azal tala nafshe be askaria desfinta. He went up and stood up on the mast of a boat. Amar must have been a boat in the Kinneret. Amar iikad ashayaleid matnita de Rabbi Chiya v'Rabboshaya. Rabbi Chiya v'Rabboshaya were the two principal students of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and they were the ones who organized all of the Braitot. So he says, if anybody asks me about the teachings of Rabbi Chiya v'Rabboshaya, v'lo pashit nalei, and I can't answer him, mi matnitin, and I cannot answer him from the Mishnah, from the corpus of the Mishnah, as to what the meaning of their Braita is, now fil na mi'iskra desfinta v'tavana, I will jump off and drown myself. Clearly, hyperbolic claim. Ata husava tanale. So somebody took him up, an elderly man took him up, and taught the following braita. Ha'omer tnu shekel levanai b'shabbat. This is talking about someone who was on his deathbed, and he gives different sort of commands as wills to those standing around. So a person says, tnu shekel levanai b'shabbat. He says, give one shekel, which is a relatively small amount, to my children every week. They have more money, and there's more money that they're able to give. They give more money. In other words, the shekel is just a minimum amount. But if he said, give them nothing but a shekel, then even if they have more money, and there's more money in the estate, that's what they give. But if he added to that, once they die, these other people should inherit their money. Whether he said in the positive, give them a shekel, or in the negative, meaning give them nothing but a shekel, either way, in only mellow a shekel, meaning because it's very clear that his intent was to have only that amount of money go, because he also directed that it should then go to somebody else, not in the family, after they die. So Amarle Hamani, so the Sava then quoted this Braita and then asked Ilfa up on the boat, who is the author of this Braita? If you can't tell me, you have to jump off. And he answered, Reb Meir, it's Reb Meir, Da'amar, in the Mishnah, mitzvah lekayem divrei hamet. It's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the one who is on his deathbed. Meaning that we interpret the words of the man on his deathbed based on context and based on the other statements around it in order to properly fulfill his words. And as a result of that, he answered the Braita based on the Mishnah properly. And now we come to another famous hero, in this case an early Tana, Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzo, or from the town of Gimzo. His title is based on the town that he came from, Gimzo in Yehuda. He was a Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. He lived at the end of the Second Temple period. And a story about him, again involving a weak wall. Amru alav al Nachum Ish Gamzo. Shayas suma mishte enav. He was blind in both eyes. Gidei mishte yadav. Kitei mishte raglav. He was a paraplegic. He had withered arms and he had amputated legs. Chogufo male shchin. He had boils all over his body. The man had a very difficult life. Vayam mutav vayit ra'ua. He was in a house that was threatening to fall. V'raglemi tatomu nachim mitzfalin shamayim. And they put the legs of his bed in water, in buckets of water, to keep ants from climbing up the legs of the bed and coming on him. That's how vulnerable he was. So one time he was in this house. It was weak. So the students wanted to do the most reasonable thing, which was to take him out of this house and also to get all the things out of the house. So Amar lahem banai, panuta kelim v'charkach panuta mitati. He said something which is very unconventional, which is that take all the things out and then take me out. Why? Shmuftach lachem shekol zman shani b'bayit en abayit nofel. I know that as long as I'm in this house, the house won't fall down. So take everything else out and then take me out last. Pinuta kelim, they did it. They took all the things out. V'charkach panuat mitato v'nafal habayit. They took him out, and as soon as they took him out, the house fell in. So the student said, Rebbe, we see that you're a very saintly person. So why do you have this terrible life? Why is it you, a saintly person, who can accurately predict when the house is going to fall down because it will never fall down on you? And as a result, you saved all of your items. How come you are blind and with withered arms and amputated legs and a body filled with boils? He said, I brought it upon myself. One time I was walking to visit my father-in-law. I had with me three donkeys worth of stuff. One of food, one of them of drink, And one with all sorts of sweets. This was evidently food for the road, and perhaps food that he was bringing to his father-in-law. I was on the way, and a poor man stopped me. He said, Rebbe, please give me something to eat. I said, okay, wait a minute, let me take it, let me undo the donkey and offload him. And while I was offloading him, the fellow died right in front of me. I fell on his face. May eyes, which did not have compassion on your eyes, yisomu, should be blinded. My hands that did not have compassion for your hands, yitgadmu, should wither. My legs that did not have compassion for your legs, yitkatau, should be cut off. I still wasn't satisfied. Until I said, maybe I'd be smitten like Eov, that my entire body should be filled with Shechin. So the student said, woe to us that we see you in this terrible condition. He said, rather it would be terrible if you saw me in any other condition, not like this. Right, because this is the right thing. This is my penance, as it were, for that one moment of lack of zealousness to save this man's life. So why is he called Nachum Ish Gamzo? And again, as I mentioned, he's from the town of Gimzo, so it's a play on his town. Whatever would happen, he would always say Gamzo Latova. Now his student Rabbi Akiva had a similar phrase where he'd say Kol Ma David Rachman Latavu Avid. The sugi at the end of Brachot, which is a little bit more of a theological statement than Gamzu L'Tova, but it carries the same basic gist. Now we hear a famous story about Gamzu L'Tova. Zimnachara ba'ol shadure Yisrael doron lebe Kesar. One time Am Yisrael, they wanted to send a gift to the Caesar. Evidently it was to the local governor, because otherwise he'd have to be on a boat. Amru man Yezel, they said, who will go and take it? Yezel Nachum Ish Gamzo. So Nachum should take it. The Maluma Benisin, who is somebody who always has miracles happen to him, he's a saintly person, and therefore he'll have some sort of divine protection when he goes. Shadru biyadeim alo sifta davanim tovim margaliot. They sent a basket filled with jewels and gems. Azal bapa hudira. So he went and overnight he stayed in an inn. So the people who lived there got up in the middle of the night. They evidently knew he was bringing a valuable gift. They took all of the jewels out of his bag and they filled it with dirt. The next day he got up and took a look. Amar Gamzu L'Tova. He said, this must be L'Tova. Now this, by the way, seems to go against the principle that we saw in Rabbi Yana's name, that a person is not allowed to put himself into danger. We'll see. Kimata Hatam, when he came to the Caesar's house, or the governor's house, Sharino Lasifta Chazano de Maliafra, they opened up the bag and saw it was full of dirt. So the king wanted to kill him and his entourage, kill all of them. Amarka Machaichu Biyudai, the Jews are making fun of me, sending me a gift of dirt. Amar Gamzu L'Tova. Nachum in the meantime said, Gamzu L'Tova. Ata Eliyahu. So who showed up? Eliyahu. Adamile Kachad Minayu, Eliyahu appeared to be one of the ministers of the king. Amale Dilma Ha'afra Mi'afra Davram Avuonho. He said, yeah, maybe this dirt is special dirt that was the dirt taken by Avraham that Avraham used and would throw at the kings when he chased the four kings in Bereshit Yudalad. The Midrash develops the idea that Avraham fought them with this special supernatural dirt. The Chihavu Shadi Afra, if he would throw dirt, Havu Saifeh, they would turn into swords. Gile, if you would throw straw, Havu Gire. Notice the play on words, Gile and Gire. It would turn into arrows. Dichtiv, we see this in Pasuk, number four. Yitain be'afar, ke'afar charbo, ke'kash nidaf kashto. So this is what Eliyahu recommended. In the meantime, there was one particular city they weren't able to conquer. They took some of this dirt, and it worked. They threw it, and it turned into arrows and swords. So they brought this man, Nachum, into the treasure house. They filled his bag up with jewels. Instead of him bringing jewels, he brought dirt. They filled him up with jewels. Ushtaru biyikara rabba, and they sent him off with great honor. So now Nachum, who the residents of the inn where he was figured they'd never see him again, he'd probably be killed, and they in the meantime would have his jewels. In the meantime, there he is coming back with great honor. Ki'atu baita bahu diura. When he came back, he slept in the same house. So they asked him, what did you bring the Caesar that they gave you such great honor? He said, simply what I took from this house is what I brought there. So what did they do? They figured they must have some real jewels there. So they tore everything down and brought the whole thing, the dirt, everything, all the dirt they had, they brought it to the king, to the governor. He said, that dirt that fellow brought, that was our dirt. And here's some more of it. They tried it, and of course it was just dirt. And they all got killed. So these people who tried to outfox Rabbi Nachum Ish Gamzu themselves were killed. And in the meantime, he, with his simple dirt, was not only saved, but given jewels and great honor. Ezuhi Dever, the Mishnah then describes what Dever is, what a plague is. Iram Otsiyah Chamesh Mirat Ragli, so the definition of the Mishnah is that if you have a city that has 500 citizens and in 3 consecutive days has at least one person die, then that is a plague. Tana Rabbanan, we have an expansion on this. Iram Otsiyah Chamesh Mirat Ve'elef Ragli, you have a city that has 1,500 people. You go on Kfar Akko, like Kfar Akko had 1,500 people. And it has, now we're just going to use a ratio. So if 500 has to have 3 people die in 3 days, then 1,500 has to have 9 people die in 3 days. So if you have 9 people die within 3 days, that is a plague. Let's say it all happens in 1 day, that's not a plague. It'd just be a terrible day. If it happens over 4 days, then it's spread out too far, and it's also not a plague. Ein ze dever. The Iram Otsiyah Chamesh Miot Ragli, Gigon Kfar Amiko, if you have a city that has 500 people like this Kfar Amiko, V'yatzumi Mena, Shloshame Tim, V'shloshamim Zacharzeh, if it has 3 people die in 3 days, Hareza Dever, 3 days in sequence, then that is indeed Dever. V'yom Echado Ba'arba'ayamim, Ein Zed Dever. Then that is not. Now we hear a story about one particular town. Drokrat Iram Otsiyah Chamesh Miot Ragli Have. There was a town called Drokrat that had 500 citizens. V'yatzumi Mana Shloshame Team B'yom Echad. And it had 3 days in a row. Each day they had somebody die. Gazar of Nachum Bar Avchista Tanita. So Nachum Avchista, the son of Avchista, made a Tanit. Hamar Nachum Ben Yitzchak Keman K'Rabbi Meir. He said he must be holding like Rabbi Meir. Here's what happened. He had 3 people die in this town in 1 day. Now we just said that if you have 3 people die in 1 day, that does not make it a plague of Dever. Just be a very bad day. So he said he must be holding like Rav Meir, who says, after all, if an ox gores in 3 successive days, he becomes a muad. So Rav Meir says, so if he gores 3 times in 1 day, then certainly is a muad because he's more violent. We, on the other hand, demand 3 separate days. So he must be holding a gomer, and therefore says that if 3 people died in 1 day, it's even more of a plague than if 3 people died in 3 days. So now, Amar Rav Nachman bar Avchista, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman bar Avchista, who had declared the fast, said to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Leikum ma'alete the gaban. Why don't you come to us, because you clearly are master, and we need you as a teacher. Amale Tanina, Rabbi Yosef Melo Makomo Shel Adam Mechabdo Al Adam Mechabed Makomo. Place does not honor a person, the person honors the place. Basically saying, I am where I am, and the place is honored by my presence, and I'm not going to move to you. Shekano, I know that the person honors the place. Sheken Matzina Bahar Sinai Shekozman Shashchina Shriya Alav, at Har Sinai, so long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence was there, Amrat Toraga Matzon Al Kora Yeruel Mula Harahu, we can't let any cattle or any sheep graze up there. The minute the Shechina left, Amrat Torah, M'shoch HaYovel, Hema Ya'alu V'har. The Torah said, as soon as the sound of the shofar is blasted, is heard, then they can go up onto the mountain. Same thing in the Midbar. As long as the mitzvah of Shiluach Tmeim in Parshat Naso, as long as the Mishkan was up, then the Torah said you have to send away anybody who's Tamei. The minute the parochet was wrapped up and the Mishkan was put away, anybody could walk there. Meaning, the place is not inherently holy, but rather depending on the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the presence of a particular person that honors the place. They said, okay, you don't want to come to us, we should come to you. Amarle ihachi nekum ana v'gavi mar, I'll come visit you. Amarle mutav yavom maneben pras, itzam maneben maneh, v'yal yavom maneben maneh, itzam maneben pras. A one who is the son of a half should not be the focus of attention. The one who is the son of a half should come visit the one who is the son of one. What does that mean? It says, you, Rav Nachum Bar Chista, you're a Talmid Chacham, is the son of a Talmid Chacham, so I should come to you, rather than you come to me. And evidently Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, whose father was not a Talmid Chacham, said that he was a Maneh Ben Pras, but evidently what he was trying to do was to discourage any sort of a meeting between them. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and Amir Tzashem, tomorrow we will pick up where we left off here on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. More stories of different plagues that happened, and continued analysis and interpretation of the Perek of Mishnayot.